Well, hello, everybody. Welcome in to Eagles Live on this Tuesday. Dave Spadaro joined by Adam Kaplan. We wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas Eve and a Christmas day tomorrow filled with joy, happiness, and good luck to the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. Adam, we've got a lot to get to today. We're going to go over that win against the Bears. More importantly, today, immediately, we want to get an update on Tony Romo. The news, of course, breaking late yesterday afternoon that reports saying that Romo suffered a back injury, will require surgery, will be out for the remainder of the season, which, of course, means that he wouldn't play on Sunday night. Now, the Cowboys have since backpedaled from some of those reports, and they are insisting that Romo is, quote, day-to-day. Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider from ESPN, what is the very latest?
Dave, I think when you look at Tony Romo's situation, the Cowboys are trying to figure out a way that he's going to be able to play with a herniated disc. He's got back spasms, as Jerry Jones said on the radio this morning, but they want to figure out a way with treatment that there's somehow he could play. But this is the way we'll sum it up. He doesn't practice by Friday. He will not play. There's simply no way you're going in what it amounts to a playoff game without your starting quarterback practicing. So right now, look at it like this. Kyle Wharton, the veteran cornerback, is going to start this week's game.
All right, so let's just take us through day by day. Today, Tuesday, the Cowboys working out some quarterbacks. I'm not sure if you know who they are yet.
Yeah, the reports are John Skelton, who you know from playing against the
Arizona
Eagles.
Arizona Cardinals, right?
Right, and David Carr, the journeyman quarterback, the former first pick overall by the Texans in 2002. Those two quarterbacks have been reported to be on that list. And Skelton, to me, is the best quarterbacks out there. He's got a strong arm. He's big, doesn't move all that well. But fact of the matter is, these are two quarterbacks who have not been with the Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys don't have a backup if Romo's not available. So they don't even have one on their practice squad. So they're going to have to sign someone within the next 24 hours.
And then in theory, as the week goes along, Kyle Orton would take the reps with the number ones. Now, Orton is an experienced quarterback. However, he's thrown just 22 passes in the regular season since the start of 2012. So very rusty, Kyle Orton, although he's been in the league, he's played against Eagles a couple of times, 1-1, big strong arm, doesn't have the mobility at him, but it will not be fazed by the experience of a winner-take-all wins the NFC East.
No, in fact, I think with Kyle Orton, he's very similar to Jay Cutler. He just doesn't have Cutler's arm strength, obviously, and he doesn't move quite that well, but he's got good size, he's very experienced, but what happens with Kyle Orton is, once he gets on a negative roll, he doesn't seem able to get out of it, and he loses some confidence. And to me, I think the game plan is very simple. You attack him if he's behind center the same way you did with Jay Cutler. What a great game plan last week, and I expect them to blitz Kyle Orton if he's behind center.
If there is any uncertainty here, Adam, we just heard from Bill Davis, Eagles defensive coordinator. Sounds like they prepare for the Cowboys' offensive scheme.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a wrench here? Is the uncertainty something that is a bit difficult for the Eagles to prepare for?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think now when you look at Tony Romo, here's a guy that is sort of unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do, and it's that unpredictability that makes him hard to defend. So to me, Dave, I think you've got to prepare for both quarterbacks, but Romo is totally different. He's kind of like the Johnny Manziel now of the National Football League. The pocket breaks down, kind of like Ben Roethlisberger, and he's going to throw on the move. He could run, but you see that? You see that mobility? You have to think, with the herniated disc, had he been able to play, you just don't know if he could last. And the risk, that's what the Cowboys are looking at right now. Risk versus being able to play.
Does this go down to Friday when the Cowboys have to designate him as probable, questionable, doubtful, or out?
Here's what I think they'll do. They're going to take this as far as they can. If they list him as questionable on Friday and he has not practiced, that's a joke. Then he's probably doubtful to out in everyone else's minds. But they're going to take it as far as they can until they know that he absolutely cannot play.
And so you would guess that questionable would be the designation, which by NFL rules is permitted.
50-50. Listen, if they think he's got a chance, but to all of us, he's doubtful. Any of us who really know and understand this injury, he's doubtful to me.
And you see the production from Romo this season. Say what you will about Tony Romo, but 31 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. That's a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. That is outstanding. And he gets the football down the field.
And you saw him in that last game bring them back. He did a great job, but you saw him limp. If you watch the game, he was limping and he clearly had a problem. We didn't know quite how serious it was.
All right, so we've got some other things to get to, of course, on this very busy Tuesday at the NovaCare Complex. The Eagles back at practice today. Let's get you caught up on the headlines of the day. We've heard from offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur and defensive coordinator Bill Davis. The Eagles preparing for the Cowboys and their quarterback options, whether it's the more mobile Romo or the more statuesque but veteran Kyle Orton. Earl Wolfe will miss training today. He is day-to-day very much so after tweaking that knee injury in Sunday's win against the Bears. We'll see what the status of Wolfe is later in the week. LeSean McCoy, 133 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, once again nominated for the FedEx Ground Player of the Week after that just fantastic performance against the Bears. And we've said it before, this guy 37 yards away from the Eagles' single-season rushing record, 1,512 yards set by Wilbur Montgomery in 1979. LeSean McCoy leads the league in rushing and in yards from scrimmage. Eagles Live takes a day off tomorrow, returns Thursday at noon. We'll have more clarification, perhaps a word from the Cowboys on the status of Tony Romo. And then, of course, it's Eagles and Cowboys. Sunday Night Football, Football Night in America. Once again, complete coverage for you leading up to that 8:30 kickoff. And then our post-game show presented by Rico. Beowulf will be in Dallas with me. So it'll be Chris McPherson in Dallas with me, you and Beowulf. And Ike Reese will be
58.
Yeah. What are your early thoughts on this game, Adam?
I think that these are two prolific offenses. There's no question about it. I think the Eagle defense right now is playing better than Dallas's defense, and I think that's kind of where the Eagles could get an advantage here because this is going to be a track meet to me. And the other question is for Dallas. DeMarco Murray is a very good football player, having his best season to me. Will they make any kind of commitment to the run, especially if Orton's behind center, which we expect? You've got to help them out, and their defense has struggled. Got to run the football, but sometimes they get too pass-happy.
Adam, just 2 days removed from Sunday night's big win over the Chicago Bears. It was 54-11. We spoke on the post-game show, and you used words like energy and enthusiasm and the passion the Eagles played with. You've had a chance to watch the film. Let's take a look and talk about the Eagles and the Bears and what that win means for this team.
I think it means this. The team got back on track. Whatever happened with the energy was sucked out of them in Minnesota. Then they got it back in this past game like I've not seen really all season. Yeah, the game was Sunday night, and kudos to Chip. He never even hinted, talking to players, that he might rest any players, and he wound up not doing that. They played them basically the whole way until the game got out of hand, and that's a credit to the coaching staff. They kept the energy up. They were on them during the week, and the players responded in a big way, and you see the first downs. I mean, literally, Dave, the Bears could not stop them all game. It was incredible. The execution, Nick Foles was on point. He was tremendous. You talked about LeSean McCoy, but for Nick Foles to be able to have that time to throw, and you see him running there, the offensive line was absolutely dominant, and their first-round pick, Lane Johnson, Dave, his best game of the season to me. He was incredible.
Great balance, offensive line dominating. Nick Foles, 4 incompletions, 3 of them throwaways, 1 a drop. So a virtually flawless performance from Foles, who continues to impress everyone. And it wasn't just Foles, of course. It was the receivers doing a nice job. Excellent game plan, good use of the screen game, creating space and gashing the Chicago Bears all night.
Yeah, I want to talk about the space. That was incredible watching the tape. It was crazy. Sometimes McCoy would create the space, and then for the receivers and tight ends especially, the Eagles like to use the pick play. Sometimes it's not legal. They got away with one.
Especially for a touchdown. The Selleck touchdown, right?
Yes, but bottom line is they got away with it, and that's a big part of their offense. And that pass right there to Riley Cooper, last second throw, he just got it in there, and it was amazing. He threw it right on him. It was a great play.
Yeah, and really much more mobile quarterback than I think Nick Foles is given credit for in and out of the pocket. So kudos to the Eagles offense for lighting it up. 3 touchdowns on their opening 3 possessions. There's the touchdown pass to Selleck. Meanwhile, the defense just getting it done against the second-ranked offense in the league in terms of points scored. Now the Eagles have that distinguished honor behind the Denver Broncos. But the Eagles defense, we talked all week last week about the big wide receivers, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, and the Eagles shut him down. Adam, why? How?
I thought it was really good game plan. They always had a safety over the top. And the other thing was they pressed those receivers, and it worked. Even when they would press one corner up and back off, Kerry Goins, for instance, would close ground quickly. Unlike against Minnesota, they ran a lot of crossers. The Bears, Dave, ran a lot of vertical routes, and the Eagles were ready for it. Great scouting, advanced scouting by the Eagles, and a great job by the coaches to know what they were hoping they would get, and they got it. And they were right on them, as you see here. They didn't give up any space, just as they did against Minnesota.
And it certainly helps when Jay Cutler's pocket was compromised all game with 3 sacks. Trent Cole, good pressure from everywhere up the middle.
72, my friend.
Yeah, 72. Cedric Thorne continuing to do an outstanding job. And the Eagles defense just As Kerry Williams talked about after the Minnesota game, learned from its lesson in Minnesota and
see that
came
play
out
right there,
outstanding. Yes.
No space, and they got the hand in. There was someone always on the ball. They were just – it was like a radar. They were right up there, and they did a great job.
So great job by the Eagles offense and the defense. And how about the special teams forcing a Devin Hester fumble, great kick coverage, and Alex Henry kicking the ball well, and Donnie Jones dumping another punt inside the five-yard line.
Just routine.
Special teams, again, part of the team effort.
Yeah, and even when the one kick by Hester was good, what happened is they stripped the ball from him. So they recovered. All three phases. It's the first game, Dave, I think, and I've now watched the tape. This was the best performance by the players and coaches this season. It was just incredible, and they really bounced back when they needed to against the Bears.
So we now turn the page and look at the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll look in depth at the Cowboys next. Chip Kelly joins us in studio, our exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade. That is next here on Eagles Live. Dave and Adam, we're coming right back.
Peppermint mocha for you and hot cocoa for you.
You've outdone yourself again.
The Dunkin' K-Cup packs.
Show off.
Jealous? Maybe.
Pick up peppermint mocha and hot cocoa flavored K-Cup packs only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Every month, Mr. Johnson goes to the drugstore and connects with a pharmacist to renew his arthritis medication, which means he can keep up with his granddaughter at her wedding. When older Pennsylvanians make the most of programs supported by the Pennsylvania Lottery, like prescription drug programs, we all benefit. Learn more at PALottery.com. The Pennsylvania Lottery benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Accidentally locked my keys in my truck while stopping at Dunkin' Donuts. So now I'm sitting in the bed of my truck, sipping a latte and smiling. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Enjoy a delicious latte the next time you stop at Dunkin'. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Happy holidays to all you Eagles fans out there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex inside the studio. I'm Dave Spadaro with head coach Chip Kelly, our exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade. And coach, last week of the regular season here, what's the week like for you and the team knowing everything that's on the line?
Same as the other 15 weeks have been. Yeah. You know, we've got a formula for how we practice and how we train. Obviously, we have a little bit of adjustment because of the holiday tomorrow. But besides that, we've been very consistent in our approach and we'll continue to be.
Can you kind of talk about just some of the things you've seen, you've been pleased with, the growth of this team throughout the course of the season? Any specific areas that you'd point to?
You know, really, I think this their capacity to work and their efficiency in which they do it in. You know, this team understands that we win because of our preparation, and you don't have to sell them on that. They understand it, and they know that it's not them playing everybody else in the league. It's them against that one team they play that week. And if they prepare better than the team that they're playing, then they have an opportunity to win on Sunday.
How did they learn that? Is it something that happens gradually? Is it leadership? Is it every player kind of looking at himself saying that I can perform best when I do it this way?
That's a good question. I mean, probably a question to ask them. But I think the one thing they are is they're all in and they're all committed to a common goal. And that's for the Philadelphia Eagles to be successful on Sunday.
Chip, obviously the big question here, the big story, the quarterbacks of the Dallas Cowboys, not quite sure what's going on. So let's talk about that and the unsure news of who plays. What kind of impact does that have on preparation?
It doesn't. You know, it's not like with Kyle Orton that the offense will change dramatically and You know, you'll see them running speed option up and down the field. You know, he's a NFL quarterback that has played in this league. He's got a really good skill set. You know, he can throw the ball. I think he started something, you know, 50, 60 games in his career so far. And in the NFL, he's proven NFL backup that, given the opportunity, I don't see the Cowboys drastically changing their offense from what they do with Tony Romo or what they do with Kyle. So
they run the football very well. DeMarco Murray, 1,000 yards. What have you seen from the offense aside from, you know, Tony Romo in the quarterback position?
Yeah, they're in this situation because there's more than just the quarterback. They've got an outstanding running back in DeMarco Murray. They've got receivers in Bryant and Williams. Outstanding tight end, you know, Jason Witten, who's been around for a long, long time, one of the premier tight ends in this league. So they have weapons at every spot, maybe one of the better left tackles in the game. So, you know, it's obviously the quarterback gets a lot of notoriety, and rightly so, because he's a good one. But there's more than just him.
Coach, in October, the Cowboys had some success against the Eagles, obviously a 17-3 win at Lincoln Financial Field. What did they do defensively in that game? Anything specific to...
They executed better than we executed offensively.
Okay. And obviously, that has changed a lot here since October. This offense has been rolling. Were there lessons learned in that game, do you think? I mean, in that game, the Giants game, that kind of, you know, you learned from and got better from offensively?
We hope so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you love the way the offense is playing right now. I imagine it was fantastic on Sunday night against the Bears. Three touchdowns to open the game, mm-hmm. 514 yards, as good as it's been all year.
We still left plays on the field and can execute better, and that's a process we'll go through today in terms of watching tape and making corrections and moving forward. But we can always play better.
Chip, the Eagles defense, something that jumped out at me, the run defense, 3.8 yards per rushing attempt allowed. That's one of the better numbers in the league. What has been the key to the run defense success?
I think everybody being on the same page and understanding what their role is and doing their job, not somebody else's job. We've got a bunch of fairly athletic guys that can run around and, you know, understand what their responsibility is. And then once they all diagnose what the play is, we play with great effort on the defensive side of the ball, and we got a lot of guys running to the football. So,
and so the young group defensively, you've loved what you've seen from that young front as the year's gone along, more playing time,
yeah.
They've gotten better and better.
I mean, I love those guys since the beginning. I think we've got a great group of young defensive linemen that play the game with passion, have worked every single day, have improved every single day, and they're a lot of fun to watch.
They really seem to accept the challenge after the tough game in Minnesota, that the way they bounced back, the way they talked about being embarrassed in that game, and the way they talked about how they really need to focus in on Chicago.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, good game against the Chicago Bears, big one on Sunday night for the Philadelphia Eagles against the Dallas Cowboys, the division on the line. You talked this week about being from Philadelphia, fighting a team like that kind of characteristic. Have you seen that kind of grow all season? Is that something that, as you just talk about an intangible personality of a football team, if that's how you define this team?
Yeah, I think our team since the beginning has always been a team that's played with great effort and has always fought. You know, and sometimes you come up on the wrong end of the score, but I've never faulted our guys for our effort and how they compete. And you know, when the whistle blows, this team's ready to play.
Important to you and understand the question here, that it's a big moment. It's a chance to close out the regular season. A young team coming together, need that to really take the next step?
We never talk about steps. It's just our next game, and we're prepared to play Dallas.
Okay. Coach, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you. Good luck on Sunday night. Eagles and the Cowboys, chance to win the NFC East. We thank you for joining us here. Chip Kelly exclusively for Gatorade.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm. Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There'll be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's time to take an in-depth look at the Dallas Cowboys. Dave Spadaro, along with Adam Kaplan from ESPN. And the Cowboys come into this game after beating the Washington Redskins by the skin of their teeth on Sunday at FedEx Field. A last-minute drive that Tony Romo executed and finished off with a fourth and goal situation from the 10-yard line. A little scramble and flip to DeMarco Murray keeps their season alive. And now the Cowboys hosting the Eagles with the winner capturing the NFC East. Adam, in general, let's talk about the Cowboys here and tell me just how good they are.
Dave, I think offensively, you've got a team that's very explosive. They're loaded at tight end, at running back, as you said about DeMarco Murray, but at wide receiver, they're really good. They've got three that are really, really good. They've got a good slot receiver, two good outside receivers. They're solid. Where they have problems is on defense, but offensively, they could make it a track meet. They can go up and down the field.
Now, you say, take a look at the numbers now. The offense certainly has done a lot of good things. That red zone percentage, very impressive. They throw the football. They've got a lot of points scored. The offense, certainly the quarterback question is a huge one looming this week, but the offense generally isn't the problem here, Adam. Let's say the Eagles have to defend this team again. They did a very good job back in October. That's the guy you want to take away first and foremost.
Yeah, wearing Mike Orvin's jersey. That is Dez Bryant, their former first-round pick out of Oklahoma State. Just tremendous. He's right up there with A.J. Green as being one of the best young receivers of the National Football League. He's physical. He runs well for his size. And he's got a lot of energy. This guy's incredible in the red zone. He's very hard to stop. He's got great body control. He's had a great season. You saw the target number there, right up there amongst the top 10 in the National Football League. He's had a great season. Will play through injury. He's very, very tough to cover because even if you think you're covering him, Dave, he gets the job done.
Now, back on October 20th, the Cowboys came to Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field, and we expected a shootout. Didn't turn out that way. The Cowboys defeating the Eagles 17-3. And the Eagles' offense, Adam, which has been outstanding this year, those numbers made you blink three times and say, what happened?
Well, Nick Foles struggled, no question about it. Then he suffered the concussion. And it's interesting in that game, despite the way that he played, they had a chance. They definitely had a chance, but Dallas' defense did a great job. Foles, the biggest problem in that game, very simple. Wasn't willing to pull the trigger for whatever reason. Didn't do it. He said he learned a lot from that game, and he did because you saw the next game after the concussion. He was incredible against Oakland. But since then, just tremendous. There's no question about it. Doing a great job, and you know what? He's so consistent. Yeah. Since that game, game in, game out, he's been tremendous.
Not only has Foles been outstanding since that game, the two teams have gone kind of in opposite directions since that time. Philadelphia has been outstanding, and the Cowboys not so much largely because of a devastating injury situation this season. Let's take a look at the Eagles and the Cowboys since that October 20th meeting and some of the different ways that these teams have gone. The Eagles obviously have played outstanding football, Adam. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys really haven't. The Eagles 6-1 with Foles under center. The Cowboys 4-4. With a depleted roster.
Yeah, I think the problem with Dallas is, on offense, we just said how great they are, but they don't make any commitment to run the football. They've got a running back, DeMarco Murray, who's, I think, having his best season. But you talked about injuries. So many of them on defense. In the secondary cornerback, Marsh Claiborne, their former first-round pick out of LSU, has missed significant time due to a hamstring injury. Middle linebacker Sean Lee with his neck injury. They've been running Bruce Carter in and out of lineup because of inconsistency. Then they lost Anthony Spencer, one of their top DNs for the season. They just can't get the consistency. Jay Ratliff's now playing for the Bears. It just hasn't worked. Too many injuries.
What's interesting to note is in that first game, no DeMarcus Ware for the Cowboys, no DeMarco Murray for the Cowboys, and yet Dallas came in and played a very tough, very physical, very sound football game.
Yeah, in fact, you could argue that was their best defensive effort of the season. They were tremendous against the Eagles. They did a great job. They completely shut them down. You mentioned DeMarco Murray out. Joseph Randle got the start, their rookie out of Oklahoma State. It did a great job. And I'll tell you what, the Eagles for three quarters on defense were tremendous. Fourth quarter, the Cowboys made a couple plays, but the defense was not the reason they lost that game.
Now, obviously, the big story as we speak here, Adam, is Dallas and its quarterback situation. Unknown whether Tony Romo plays or whether Kyle Orton gets the call. Adam, from a defensive scheme standpoint, what changes Romo versus Orton?
Kyle Orton, to me, is similar to Jay Cutler. You kind of know what he's going to do. He's a pure pocket passer, doesn't move very well, is slightly better than average arm strength. But he's got good size. He's a veteran, a lot of veteran savvy. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes, but you want to collapse that pocket because he does not move very well. If you get close to him, he's going to go down.
And we take a look at Kyle Orton, the career numbers. Not bad. Certainly has been around the league long enough to understand the magnitude of a moment like this. He will prepare, as he's prepared all season, to be the starter. And he will know what Bill Davis is trying to do to him, although Davis certainly seems to have some tricks up his sleeve. That scheme against the Bears on Sunday night was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, the stunts against Chicago were great. The Bears had no idea it was coming. And when Cutler would try to step into his throws, Dave, he couldn't make them because they were on him. Trent Cole and Michael Kendricks were tremendous. But Dallas, their offensive line, I'd say this, much improved. It's what people aren't talking about. They've actually done a good job, I think, of protecting Tony Romo. It's just that they need a help, no matter who the quarterback is, by running the football more.
Adam, one quickie here on the Eagles offense. If you are putting together the game plan together, what are you doing against Dallas? What are you trying to attack?
The B word, balance. If you get the balance back, which they've had all season, you saw it against Chicago, and other than the Minnesota game where they came out throwing too much, there's no way Dallas will stop them because the Eagles could literally do whatever they want, but they can't just get so pass happy where it makes them easier to defend. If they come out with a balance, they'll score 35 to 40 points in this game.
How healthy are the Dallas Cowboys? That's been a huge problem for them all season, and this week, clearly no exception. Injuries have really ravaged the Cowboys on offense, on defense, and now we talk about them at the quarterback position, Adam. Can they go deep enough into their roster in a critical moment and have reserves bring home the NFC East for the Cowboys?
Yeah, let's talk about the injury situation. First of all, on defense, you know, looking at the Eagles' offense versus Dallas' defense, the issue is this, Dave. The issue is this. We talked about the secondary. How are they going to match up against the Eagles' wide receivers and tight ends? Orlando Scandrick, their nickel corner, got as a start for Claiborne. That puts them in a position with B.W. Webb, who shouldn't really be playing all that much. He's got to be on the field more. The safety problem, you got Jeff Heath, an undrafted free agent, playing at safety. That's a problem. It's real simple to me. The Eagles have been playing a lot more two tight end sets with Zach Ertz. They always have had that one tight end, three receiver set. They can attack that secondary. That's a huge advantage for the Eagles.
Keys to winning the game, Adam, for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Balance. I'm going to stick with that. That would be number one. Don't get out of what they do best. That's balance in the run and pass game. They can do whatever they want. That's number one. And also, blitz the heck out of whoever plays quarterback. We think it's going to be Orton, but no matter who it is, blitz them because the bottom line is the Eagles have great blitz packages. We saw it against Chicago. I expect Billy Davis, number one, to be very aggressive. When Davis is aggressive, it's very hard to stop the Eagles' defense.
And there you go. That is our first look, an in-depth look. Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday night. And make sure you get your seatbelts on. We've got an NFC East title to win.
Peppermint mocha for you and hot cocoa for you.
You've outdone yourself again.
The Dunkin' K-Cup packs.
Show off.
Jealous? Maybe.
Pick up peppermint mocha and hot cocoa flavored K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love. Like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Every month, Mr. Johnson goes to the drugstore and connects with a pharmacist to renew his arthritis medication. Which means he can keep up with his granddaughter at her wedding. When older Pennsylvanians make the most of programs supported by the Pennsylvania Lottery, like prescription drug programs, we all benefit. Learn more at PALottery.com. The Pennsylvania Lottery benefits older Pennsylvanians every day.
Accidentally locked my keys in my truck while stopping at Dunkin' Donuts. So now I'm sitting in the bed of my truck, sipping a latte and smiling. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
Enjoy a delicious latte the next time you stop at Dunkin'. Share your story. Hashtag my Dunkin'.
All right, we're in the last week of this regular season, so it's time for nitty-gritty talk about a nitty-gritty game on Sunday night. Dave Spadaro joined by former Eagles All-Pro wide receiver Mike Quick. And it all comes down to Dallas, as we kind of, in the back of our minds, thought all year, right?
I think we knew that it was going to come down to this final game of the regular season. And, you know, what better stage, what better way, the Dallas Cowboys in Texas for the NFC East title. I love it.
The way it's come down here is what's interesting, though, Mike, because the Eagles coming off that big win on Sunday night against the Chicago Bears, a lot of confidence, 9-6 team. What do you think of this Eagles team 15 games into the season?
Very impressive. You know, coming off the Minnesota loss, I was really impressed with the game plan, with how the coaching staff bounced back, how the players bounced back and responded to one of the better teams that in everybody around the league you talk to. They'll look at the Chicago Bears as one of the better teams in the league. You know, Matt Forte, one of the top running backs, you know, those two huge wide receivers on the outside, really monsters of the midway. They're great players, but they were null and void in that game Sunday night against the Eagles.
So how do you duplicate this kind of an effort? I mean, what happened on Sunday was great. It was fun. It was wonderful, but it happened. Now we got to focus on Dallas.
Yeah, that's the key. Being able to duplicate, as you say, trying to repeat that type of performance. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to score as many points as they scored. But they've got to be sharp, and they've got to win the trenches. And that, to me, was the success in the game on Sunday night. The defensive line set the tone for the football game early in the football game by beating the Chicago Bears at the line of scrimmage. And once that happened, it really set the tone, and everything else just followed behind that. The offensive line, they met. You know, it's all about the big guys in the trenches. You've got skilled players on every team. They don't get a chance to show their skills if the bigs don't do their job, and that was the difference in the game.
Let's talk about the D-line first. We've seen Cedric Thornton mature, and Fletcher Cox, and Benny Logan, and Vinnie Curry, and Clifton Gethers, and Damian Square, etc. Yeah. Mike, I think they're just a really good group right now.
They're a really good group. They're a really young group, fresh legs. And see, this is at this stage in the season, coaches really realize who they have as players, what they're good at, what they're not good at. So it's a better combination for Billy Davis now, mixing the different attacks, the different blitzes, the different things that they want to throw at offenses and throwing them off kilter. It's just they've gone so far. They've grown so much, especially from the first game that they had against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and you talk about the growth. Let's discuss number 9. I mean, he was very poor against the Cowboys.
He was bad.
Yeah, he played poorly. As you think back to that game, and everybody's doing it this week, why was he so bad? And then the fact that he's bounced back from that, Mike, what has that told you about Nick Foles?
I think that tells you everything that you need to know. I mean, everybody, at some point, you'll fall, but Nick Foles got up, and he got up and dusted himself off, and he's shining now. He's like a shiny new penny.
Yeah.
The guy, you know, he's so impressive the way he manages this offense, the decision-making. You know, this is a multifaceted offense. It gives you a lot of different things to do with the football at the quarterback position, and I think he makes as good a decision as you can make as a quarterback in this system.
Interesting to see how Dallas's defense plays the Eagles. They had great success the first time.
Yeah.
Pressed up at the line of scrimmage. Eagles got nothing going. No cutback lanes for LeSean McCoy. Really, to me, it's Chip Kelly and Garrett and everybody trying to make adjustments.
You know, it's Monty Kiffin, his defense, and the things that he'll try and do. You know, Monty Kiffin came into this league starting with a two-deep zone concept, and he played that Tampa 2 style. Well, he's kind of morphed into more of a safety up, and like you said, a press cover on the outside. You see a lot more of that out of his defenses. And it'll be interesting to see how he plays this team. With Shady McCoy having the success that he's having, I think that you're going to see more of the safety up rather than.
Which means what? Which they're trying to take away the run?
Which means that they're going to put more people to try and stop Shady McCoy. So then you got one-on-one on the outside with a DeSean Jackson, with a Riley Cooper. And I think it's just fun football because this is what Chip Kelly likes. He likes the matchups. And when you can create the matchups to your favor, he's really good at that. It's usually a good night.
Is this a big game for you when you evaluate Nick? That here's a game to go win the NFC East and to play a team and beat a team that gave you a lot of problems before?
Dave, it's all about winning the big ones. And you can't win the big ones unless you can win these types of games. And this is a big game. There's more pressure surrounding this game. This game will highlight your flaws a little better than regular season games. So, yeah, it's a big game for Nick. It's a big game for this entire franchise.
All right, Mike Quick, thank you, man.
You got it.
Thanks for joining us in studio. Enjoy Sunday with Merrill in the booth. Mike Quick in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most high sports. Xfinity.
A life is more than a heartbeat. It's more than what you see on a CAT scan or echocardiogram. And although we see some of the most rare and complicated heart conditions, and continue to advance the frontiers of heart care every day, we never forget what we're really looking at. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Thanks for financing my first car. Thanks for giving me your smile. Thanks for inspiring me. Thanks for showing me my potential. For teaching me not to take life so seriously. Thanks for loving me and being my best friend. Don't forget to thank those who helped you take charge of your future and got you where you are today. The boss of your life, the Chief Life Officer.
And we have a blood drive coming up here Sunday, or Saturday, December 28th. The American Red Cross and the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the 6th annual Eagles Blood Drive at Lincoln Financial Field. Make sure you sign up today. It starts at 7 o'clock on Saturday. It's a critical time of the year with blood supplies low. The Eagles and the American Red Cross could really use your help. And just for signing up and giving some blood, you get a free, very, very exclusive Eagles American Red Cross blood drive hat. And then 6 lucky winners will be selected at random to receive tickets for the 2014 regular season opener at Lincoln Financial Field, the home opener. So let's help each other. Eagles fans helping Eagles fans. The 6th annual blood drive on Saturday, December 28th at Lincoln Financial Field. I will see you there. I'm going to be down there for that. Take a look at practice today in the indoor facility here at the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro along with Adam Kaplan. Let's take some phone calls and some predictions as we get a firm grasp on the Eagles and the Cowboys on Sunday. Let's start in Maryland with Paul. Hey, Paul.
Dave, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Adam.
What's up, man?
Go Birds. Go Birds. That was beautiful, man. That was a beautiful game.
Yes, it was.
I seen you on the Jumbotron at halftime, man. Nice suit. I went to the game.
Oh, why, thank you, Paul.
I just want to say, man, I agree exactly with what Mike Quick said, man. Dave, if you see any of those old linemen today, please shake their hands, man. That was some of the best blocking I've seen in a long time. Thanks, Casey, on that trap blocking, man. Selleck, even McCoy, man, he did some key blocks, man. That was some fantastic blocking.
Hey, Paul, give me a prediction, and then Adam and I will talk about that. What's your prediction for Sunday?
I give a prediction at 34-20. It all depends on that defensive line, man, all on that D-line. Go Birds.
Thank you, Paul. You're the man. Merry Christmas to you. Adam, the offensive line, we talked about this all year. At what point would it arrive as one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL? It sure as heck seems to be there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's one of the best, clearly, and you could argue that it's the best. But this game, I thought, compared to Minnesota, I think the offensive line was that good. I thought they were very inconsistent against Minnesota. This game, they had it going on. And not to take anything away from Nick Foles, but Dave, some throws that he made, he literally had 10 seconds. He could have, if he wanted to, have 10 seconds. Generally had 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds to throw. When you have that, just step into it and throw it.
Jason Peters taking Julius Peppers out of the way.
Forgot to mention him. Oh, my God, on tape, it was he mauled him. A couple times he just drove him. He was backpedaling like he was on ice.
Yeah, Lane Johnson doing a great job on Shea McClellan. Yeah. Jason Kelce getting out in the second level.
He's been great.
The athletic ability of this offensive line is so impressive and so necessary, and they're fresh and they're healthy, and that's a huge plus going into this regular season finale in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah, I do want to add this. The interior of the offensive line, which I thought had at times been inconsistent, was also tremendous. You talked about Kelce, but we don't want to forget about Herrimans and Mathis. Mathis is kind of like the unsung hero.
He makes the Pro Bowl? Yes,
so consistent. But the problem is, we know this year they're doing it differently, but the fact of the matter is it's always been too much of a popularity contest. But he certainly would be on my list.
Okay. Let's go to San Francisco and talk to Mario, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hey, Mario, good morning.
Good morning, Ed. How you doing?
How are you?
Doing fine.
Season's greetings to you, both of you guys. And
thank you.
Remember, you were laughing at me about that safety, Dave, and it happened, even though the score didn't come up as it was, remember? But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was basically what I told Adam before. The difference was in this game in the defensive side was the backs. They played everybody tight, and you saw that you saw a big differential. Even Patrick Chung had a
smart. He did a good job.
Yeah,
he did.
You said, but you see the difference. Don't play scared. Play.
You were right. I mean, it was a much more aggressive,
much more
defensive game.
That looked more like Buddy Ryan's defense.
Yeah,
I was loving.
They're aggressive. You're right.
If they play like that this weekend, there's nothing. I'm not worried about it anyway. I really feel good about the team. I know they're going to win. I'll give you the score.
Go ahead.
I'll say Philly 41, Dallas 17.
Mario, thank you so much.
Okay,
Merry Christmas.
You guys have a happy holiday and take care, and I'll talk
thank
to you next
you. Time. Thank right. you. You know, it is interesting how much more aggressive it was. There's a very delicate balance when you play defense, and you really emphasize having that safety over the top and not allowing the big plays down the field. And then also you want to be up in receivers' faces. You want to take away some of that short route. Early in the season, we saw the Eagles giving up all those slants.
Oh, every week.
That,
first three,
that hasn't
don't do it anymore.
Been a nice adjustment here.
You notice the tight ends are not a big factor anymore against the Eagles.
And Martellus Bennett has
some
catches,
couple,
but
right.
It was late in the game and really kind of meaningless.
And that had been the tight end position historically had been the worst for the Eagles. Everyone would burn them. They don't do it anymore. It's quite a job in the first season by these coaches. And credit to Chip. He came in here and he said, I'm not giving in to rebuilding. Forget that. I don't know what they did here before. We're going to do it our way, and the fact that they could have a +6 win percentage over last year, just get 6 more wins they did last year, to me is unbelievable. This thing has far exceeded what I thought, but guess what? Still got a chance to win a division on Sunday.
Adam, do you think that the loss in Minnesota is still fresh enough in their minds that there's absolutely no way you have even the slightest bit of a letdown on Sunday night?
Well, you know, it's a letdown, first of all, against Minnesota. But this one, the season's on the line, so I think you throw that out. But it's about the game plan. And Chip could say whatever he wants about Minnesota, and I know the matchups favored him. I get that part of it. But the fact that they didn't go back to what they do best is have balance, no one could stop that running game. No one's been able to stop it all year, really. Dallas did a good job, fairly good job in the first matchup. But when you get balance, the defense has no idea what you're going to do, because with that ghost motion – with Deshaun Jackson or Riley Cooper, they've got to follow him. And then what happens? The Eagles go the opposite way.
Right.
You should have seen Chicago had no idea what to do. It was a great game plan.
All right, let's take another phone call. Jordan in Pennsylvania joins us on Eagles Live. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Man?
Merry Christmas
doing great.
From Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. You too.
Hey, I wanted to give you my prediction and then a quick question for Adam. My prediction, 31-17 Birds.
Okay.
And a question about Kyle, in terms of Kyle Orton, what do you think are the biggest differences with his game compared to Tony Romo?
He's
just, and what the Eagles will have to key in
very
on.
Easy.
He's the player.
Yeah, very easy. you're not worrying about him running at all and moving around the pocket. He just doesn't do that. He's a pure pocket passer, kind of like Jay Cutler. I think playing Jay Cutler, guys, last week probably helped the Eagles a little bit.
Yeah, and Orton is certainly an experienced, respected quarterback, but he's not going to keep plays alive. Do you think then, Dallas, if it is Orton, do they shorten things up, run the football?
Run more.
Bubble screens.
Absolutely.
Get the football out of Orton's hands, which the Vikings did very well with Matt Cassel.
Yeah, and I think the lack of improvisation from Kyle Orton really helps a defense. There's no question about it because you don't have to defend that. Because it's the unpredictability from Tony Romo. And when you don't have to worry about that, you just worry about collapsing the pocket. Boy, it makes it easier to defend that offense.
All right, speaking of the Eagles offense and the Eagles defense, the coordinators met the media this morning. Let's show you the best of the best. First, offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, fresh off a 54-point explosion by the Eagles offense and the defense. The Eagles scoring 45 points offensively, 514 yards of offense, 28 first downs. They could have scored all night. Now Pat Shurmur wants to see it again on Sunday against the Cowboys.
You know, we have that one week at a time mindset, and last week's game was big. You know, we got one down and one to go. I don't think whatever the setting is too big for Nick. You know, he didn't play very well. I don't think any of us played well the first time we played Dallas. I look back on it now, and I don't recognize some of what happened. We dropped balls. We weren't on the same page with who we blocked. Certainly Nick had some inaccuracies. We did a poor job coaching and playing, and I think we're a different team now, you know. And I think Nick had that experience and then was knocked out of the game and then came back soon after and threw seven touchdown passes against Oakland. So I don't think what's going to happen in the settings, I don't think it's going to be too big for him. I think he understands what's important is we put together a plan and we go out and execute and try to be better than Dallas when we play him Sunday night. And that's it.
And on the defensive side of the ball, I believe a coordinator who should be given consideration for one of the best jobs of the season. Agreed?
I would give one for assistant coach of the year. And
coordinator of the year.
Coordinator. Yeah, we just made it up. How about that?
Please. 10 of the last 11 games, Eagles have allowed 21 points or fewer. Bill Davis meeting the media this morning.
Well, I know this. Kyle Orton is a highly efficient quarterback. He's started about 70 games, I believe, in the NFL. He has a great presence and sees the field well. He's always distributed the ball equally to the open guy. I think some guys have favorites, some don't. I think Kyle Orton is a great system quarterback in that he understands the coverage and who's in what position in the routes, and he does a great job of getting the ball out of his hands and accurately throwing to the open guys. So we've got a great challenge no matter who the quarterback is, but Kyle Orton can start for a lot of teams in the NFL. Well, the one thing that with all the injuries that we face this year against opponents, you always prepare for their starters to start and be at their best. And from there you work. Now, for instance, this week we'll say, okay, well, let's also put a lot of emphasis on Orton as the backup because we know it's a proposition where we have no control of. We have to be prepared for both. So I don't think the offense changes too much with one or the other. I think we're prepared for both of them, and we're prepared to get the Dallas Cowboys' absolute best, and no matter who's a quarterback.
All right, we've got a little bit of breaking news here for you. LeSean McCoy, for the second time in his career, named the NFC's Offensive Player of the Week, 133 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Chicago Bears. Adam, 6 games this year, he's been over 100 yards. Leads the league in rushing, leads the league in yards from scrimmage. 37 yards away from establishing the Eagles' all-time record in single-season rushing yards. A truly remarkable performance. Any chance MVP consideration for
absolutely
a player who should be
25 and 9? I think you got to look at both, but 25. LeSean McCoy, absolutely, and it's amazing. Fans want to know Sean Marino. That it was.
I don't know the fans wanted that.
Oh, they want to know Sean Marino. What are you talking about?
I didn't know they wanted that.
It
wasn't Ricky Williams-esque here.
My friend, let me tell you something. They wanted no Sean, but they got LeSean, and guess who's been a better player? It's not even close.
Donald Brown, who's playing well now. Beanie Wells, no Sean Marino, and then
he's the best one
LeSean
of the group.
McCoy.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. We want you to stay tuned. We've got Nick Foles meeting the media at about 1:20, quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, who has, by the way, 25 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions, his poorest game of the year, of course, coming against the Dallas Cowboys. So you know the tone of the questions that he will answer here in the next couple of minutes. So, Adam, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll see you in the postgame show on Sunday with Beowulf.
Correct.
And we'll see you next week after the Eagles win the NFC East title.
Sure.
All right, great job. Adam Kaplan, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. Have yourselves a very Merry Christmas, health and happiness, and we'll see you Thursday, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.